I'm going to be in Philippians chapter 2 this morning, verses 1 through 11, and also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. As I was putting my microphone on in the pew just a few minutes ago, Abbott says to me, "Why were you talking so loud during class this morning?" And he's out in the hall with the door shut, so maybe I'm a little louder than I anticipated being this morning. And I was undecided whether I would sit on the bench when I preach this morning or not, but I think I'll stand. But let's be praying for the Ladies' Day coming up this weekend. I know there's many ladies in this congregation, Fran's leading it this year, and many other women have put a lot of time and effort in to providing some spiritual content and a good time for a whole bunch of ladies in the area that are going to come here on Saturday. And the setup here is for some of their skits. And I know they put a lot of work in. So let's be praying about that event, that those who come will be touched by it and will leave having heard something or met up with somebody that has challenged them to live their lives just a little bit more for Christ. Because after all, that's what we want. I was touched by the scripture reading this morning and by Ben's talk at the table and the scripture that he read. They're going to go along really well with the scriptures I think I'm going to share for the sermon and even for what I want to talk about this morning. The way sometimes that these things come together, I think, shows us how God is present working among us. To have a scripture reading about the love of God and how the love of God compels us to love one another more, and to hear from Matthew how the life of Jesus leads us to give ourselves for others, and how those can really be intertwined, that we see in the love of God an example of what it means to give ourselves in love for other people. And really, when we boil it down, when we think about how can we live our lives in a way that we're a light to others, we can't do any greater than to live just like Jesus, to live just like the plan of God that unfolded for us in the life of Jesus as he lived and he gave himself for us because he loved us. Can we assimilate the gospel into our lives so that that might be the way that we live for others? We stop thinking about the time it's going to take to do this or whatever the case may be. But what if it became our primary objective in life to live so that we gave ourselves to others in love? So that through that kind of selfless serving, the love of God would be seen through us. And our lives aren't being lived for ourselves or for the glory that we can bring to ourselves, but for the light of God that we can shine on others. And I know that's a learning process. I know there's a growth curve. I know some of us, as I was talking about in class this morning, some of us are further along that and some of us aren't. Sometimes we let people down. But what if we set that as the goal of our lives? To examine the interactions that we have along those gospel lines, to challenge ourselves to grow, to become more like Jesus in the interactions that we have. You know, at a different church I was at, after I preached one morning, we had a woman respond to the invitation, and she came forward. She had been there a few weeks, so I had known her. I'd had a little bit of conversation with her, but she came forward and wanted to share with the church what I already knew, of course, but she wanted to share that she had previously been a member of that church, but she'd left after she'd been gone for 10 or 15 years, and she wanted to come back, but she was worried about whether the folks at the church would accept her coming back, because she was afraid that there might be some ill will or some bitter feelings because she just hadn't been around for a decade or so. And, you know, I talked to her and told her that that wasn't going to be a problem, that she shouldn't worry about that. But she wanted to come forward and express her desire to be part of the group. And the interesting thing was, as I paid attention to what was happening, and this almost always happens when somebody comes forward, there's just an outpouring of support for the person. And I prayed for her afterwards, and a lot of people came up front to come and talk to her afterwards and welcome her back. But over the next few weeks, things kind of fell back into the patterns that they usually did. And folks, they might say hi to her for the first week, the second week, and then everybody just fell back into the routines that they were a part of, the people that they saw, the folks that they wanted to talk to. And as happens in a lot of times when you have a group, within that group are smaller groups. And so over the period of a month or two, she felt as though she was still on the outside looking in. And it was a source of frustration for her. And I'm using her as one example. Probably there's many here that feel sometimes like that. That when you think about church, what you really want, what you're really looking for when you come, you know the gospel. You want to follow God. You love God. You love Jesus. But when you come to church, maybe what you really want is to feel connected with people. Because you already know you have that connection with God. And you already know that that connection is going nowhere. And you come here to worship God and to give the proper attention to Him. But sometimes you want more from each other. And we struggle with this, I think, as Christians. Especially in, maybe even more, in a church like Otisville, where we're spread out geographically all over the place. And that relational connection, that fellowship connection that we desire, that we want to have with one another, sometimes we really struggle to attain that. And we read passages from Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, and we see the example of the early church and how close they were, the kinds of time that they spent with one another, the things that they did with one another, the way that they would share with one another, even by giving of their own property, their own money, to give to the church so that the apostles could distribute it to everybody who had need. They cared for one another deeply. And we see that example in Scripture. We read it, we talk about it, we think about it, maybe we pray about it. It's what we want. But we don't always find it. We don't always reach that level of relationship that we're looking for. And I think, and I hate to say it like this, but I think sometimes the reason we don't find that, we have to look inwardly at ourselves. And I don't say that statement to cast blame on anybody. I really don't. But I think sometimes we don't find what we're looking for because we don't put ourselves fully into that process. I was talking to someone a few years back about their experience in the church that they were attending. And the person was really quite bitter about things. They liked the general structure of the church, but they felt like things just weren't clicking. Things just weren't connecting for them. And there was a lot of criticism. There was a lot of bitterness. But as I drilled down a little bit further with this individual, what I discovered was that he was looking at the church in terms of what he could get out of the church. He was looking at it in terms of what other people would do for him or what other people could do for him, maybe things he was expecting, and he didn't get it in return, and he became bitter and frustrated over it. And I wonder if we might see ourselves a little bit in that example, that we look for something, but we expect somebody else to give that to us, rather than us going out and making it happen for somebody else. And as I listened to the scripture readings this morning, and I thought about what I'm going to be sharing with us and some of the scriptures that I'm going to read in just a minute here, I wondered if maybe that's the problem that we really struggle with. That if anyone's here this morning and you're feeling disconnected, I want to challenge you to think about yourself, but not in a selfish way. Don't think about what am I not getting out of this, but begin thinking about what can I put back into this. Because when we want the church to be a family, but we treat the church as an organization, we're always going to come out wanting. We're always going to come out looking for something else. But when we look at the church as a family, and when we talk about the church as a family, and then we actually live that out, things are totally different. Because I can go to an organization, maybe I'm volunteering somewhere, and I can go in and be checked out the whole time and do what I'm there to do and not really talk to anybody and then leave and say, I did my duty, but nobody talked to me. But when you go to a family event, it's much more rare that you that you act as checked out as you would maybe at an organizational event. You know, when you gather among family, walls come down, barriers are broken through, you have conversation, even if it's at a surface level, you still converse, you still talk. And when we think about family versus organization, we realize that family is what we really want in the church. But sadly, we sometimes approach it from an organizational point of view. So this morning, that's what I want us to think about. I want us to think about church as family and how we can bring that feeling for all of us. And if you're here this morning and you feel somewhat disconnected, I want you to think about, as I read here and as we talk a little bit longer, I want you to think about what you can do to try to create more of a family atmosphere for others. And if you're here this morning feeling really, really connected, I want you to think about what you can do to include others in that. Because that's what we're going to find out this morning, and I believe that's what the readings were about this morning. Being a Christian is not about you. It's not about me. And when I begin to look at following Jesus as what can I get out of this? What kind of attention can I get? What kind of glory can I bring upon myself? I am dropping the ball big time. I am failing. I am letting God down and I'm letting you down. Because in the church, and to use another image, we talk about the church as being the body of Christ, meaning Christ is the head. We all function together in one body, following the lead of Christ. All of us. So what can we do to draw other people in? What can we do to stop treating the church as an organization and begin looking at one another more and more as family? I've heard some of the talk. I'm going to talk about Ladies' Day for a minute, because I've heard some of the talk of what some of the lessons are, what some of the ideas are behind what they're trying to do. And they want to instill this idea of being sisters with one another. And let's not use that term as a term that we just use loosely with one another. This is brother so-and-so. Yeah, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. What if we actually meant that? What if we began to look at one another as our brothers and sisters, because in Christ, that's what we are to one another? Would that change the way that you think about each other? Would that make a difference for how you view certain people? Might you think differently about a person you've had a problem with? Might you think differently about that person that you see that you haven't really reached out to, even though they walk past you every Sunday? Might it make a difference for you to begin thinking about that? We have a choice this morning. We can continue living inside the boxes that we've created for ourselves in the church. And we can go about business as usual, and we can say, that was a nice sermon, you know, on the way out. And we can continue going about business like we always have. Or we can step outside the box, which means there's no longer four walls by which we can contain and control our experiences, because we've stepped outside the box, and we can take a different approach. And we can begin today to really instill that family experience that we all yearn for, and some of us feel more than others, and some of us don't feel at all. But we can make a change today by deciding to live out the full gospel call upon our lives that Christ has given to us. Break that box down and step outside. Let me read some scripture here. Kind of doing things a little bit backwards here. But I'm going to read first from Philippians chapter 2. This is a key passage in the Bible. When Paul writes, he's writing in Philippians, he's writing to Christians that are, they look like they're doing well in terms of their spiritual growth. They look like they're growing by leaps and bounds. But Paul is aware of a problem on the inside that doesn't always manifest itself on the outside. And he's aware that there's some problems internally with infighting. He's aware that there's some people that don't like each other, and it's a big enough problem that in chapter 4, he's going to call out names in his letter. He knows who's causing the problems. And as we all know, once things come to a light like that, sometimes sides are taken. And a small problem is taken, and that small problem is made bigger. And once a small problem becomes big, how do you put that one back? You don't. So Paul's trying to address, he's really trying to address some issues here. And he's going to go to the heart of the issue, and he's going to talk about the gospel, because he's going to say, I've read this passage a number of times, look at verse 5 right now. He's going to say, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know how we can get any more clear than that. The Word of God, written down by the Apostle Paul, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That is so powerful. We could all leave here today. We could reconvene our worship service at Barnes & Noble in Flint in the self-help section and look at 100 different relationship books about how to act in this relationship, how to get along in that one, how to focus on this relationship, and so on. And probably not a single one of them is going to be as concise and simple as this. He's laid it out. How do we build that family? How do we build the family of God? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, why doesn't that happen? It happens sometimes, of course, but not all the time. Why not? It's because we struggle with the implications of what that means. It's because we're still torn between wanting to get something out of a relationship instead of being focused on the other person and putting something back in. That's the only reason. The only reason is because we still struggle with how to apply the gospel to our lives. So let's go on. I'm going to come back to verses 1 through 4 because I want to spell this out. What is the mindset of Christ? What is that mindset? Now, just so we don't get confused, Paul, he goes on to tell us who, he's talking about Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So the first thing we see about Christ was he was right up there with God, but he did not look at that and say, I'm owed something from you. He did not use that status as something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, Paul says, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is what Paul says. That's the mindset of Christ. He humbled himself by taking on the lowly status of, first of all, he became human. So he left behind that divine status that he had and said, I'm not going to go see them and make any kind of power play based on what I had. Instead, I'm going to become just like them. But I'm going to become lower than them because I'm going to take on that status of a servant. And he was humble about it. And he made his life about obeying God. And that humble obedience led him to the point of death on a cross because that was God's plan. And his sole mission in life was to be obedient to God. And he followed in obedience to the very end, with humility, because he loved us, because he put us ahead of himself. So when Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, we can see really clearly what he means. And that's easy for us to line ourselves up with. So let's apply that to our experience in the church, when we think about the church being a family. Think about the last interaction that you had with somebody that caused you to think about it after the fact. Did you have the mindset of Christ in that interaction? Did they? I'm not saying that we need to always evaluate other people. I'm not saying that at all. We're far better off worrying about ourselves. But what I'm saying is, when you think about that, were either of you approaching that relationship through having the mindset of Christ? And I'm going to venture a guess and say, and I'm including myself in this, probably not. Because what that means is, we have to stop looking at whatever it is about ourselves that we would want to use to our own advantage, because relationships, especially in the church, are not about power plays. They're not about control. They're not about what we can get from somebody else. They're about what we can give. And the problem in some churches, and the problem most of the time, almost all of the time, when we feel as though church isn't working out the way we want it to, or I don't feel part of the family or whatever, is we're looking to be takers instead of givers. And we have to stop looking to take all the time. And we need to start looking at what we can give. Because God in the gospel calls us to be like Jesus, who gave himself for us. And you may remember a couple weeks ago when I was in Luke chapter 22, and the very words of Jesus as he institutes the Lord's Supper are, "This is my body. This is my body," he says, "given for you. This is my blood poured out for you." See, he gave himself. Jesus was not a taker. But sometimes that's how we look at relationships. That's how we approach one another in terms of, what can I take from you, or what can you give to me? Because we're looking to receive. When in the gospel, God calls us to give. And someone might say, well, if I give all the time, what do I ever get out of it? Can I just say, that's not really a gospel question? And I know that's hard to say, because that's my first thought when I was developing the sermon. I was trying to run out the implications of this. In the back of my mind was, if I give all the time, when does it ever come back? But that is not the right question. That is not a question that God asks. It's not a concern that God tells us to have. He tells us, in his family, you give for one another. You live for one another. You live to give to one another. And so, in Philippians 2, we have highlighted for us the approach of Christ, how he lived when he was on earth. When he lived his life, what did he do? And we see him giving and giving and giving, humbly loving and serving others in obedience. And Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. Just try to point this out quickly. Because in this section, Paul gives another application of the gospel. See, his first application that I read in Philippians chapter 2 was that we would become like Christ in our relationships with one another and give. But now we see in Ephesians chapter 2 another application of that. And Paul says, "For Christ himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those of you who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And in that section, Paul says, you know what? Christ, he died for all of us to get rid of the hostility that exists between people so we can be at peace with each other. So if part of God's plan was that we would be at peace with one another, then why is it that we still hold on to hostility? Why is it that we still hold on to expectations about other people, and then when they don't live up to those expectations, we become bitter, we become angry, we accuse them of not carrying their own weight, It's hostility. And Paul says, Christ got rid of that. He got rid of it. So wherever there's hostility, and discord, and anger, and bitterness, it's because we brought it back in. We brought it back in. Because Paul says, through Christ, God got rid of all. He got rid of it. And we brought it back in. And that's why I said this morning, we have a choice. So we can decide whether to stay inside the boxes that we brought with us this morning when we came in, or we can step out of those things. And we can step into something that might be a little bit unknown. We can step into something that we're still going to make mistakes in. If we decide to totally give ourselves for other people, we're still going to be selfish at times. And we shouldn't feel bad about that, because we're changing. And we're making a difference. We're growing. The thing that we need to think through in our minds is, are we committed to living that different way? Because that's what Christ is calling us to. Now, I had a whole bunch of, I've got four pages here. I'm not going to read these, of course, but four pages of verses that I printed off. These are the one another commands in the New Testament. You know, we could read through some of these. We could talk about these for days. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You get the idea. They're all over the place. I've got four pages. I probably missed some. How do we view one another? How are we living for one another? If we read through those passages, we would see that God, it's not Paul, it's not even Jesus in some cases, it's not Peter, but it's God. It's God calling us to live a different way through the gospel. And that matters, that affects how we live before other people. It affects how we love one another. It affects how we think about one another. It affects how we handle with conflict with one another. It affects the hostility that we view others with, the suspicion that we view others with. It's totally unnecessary, but comes in because we're thinking about ourselves first. We're being takers rather than thinking about how we can be givers. So please, this morning, think about that metaphor that I've given. Think about the box that you brought with you when you came in today. How have you bounded your life? What kind of boundaries do you have that affect who you're going to interact with, who you're going to talk to, and how you're going to perceive those? And break them down. And take Paul's advice. It's great advice. And I'll be the first to tell you, it's hard to do. It is not easy to take Paul's advice here. But it's something that we can make progress on every day if we commit to it. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We all know what that mindset is. We all know what we need to do. We'll determine whether we actually do it by whether we're willing to take a risk, whether we're willing to make ourselves vulnerable, whether we're willing to live out the gospel completely as God calls us to. Because we live not for ourselves, but we live for each other. If you're here this morning and need to respond to God in any way, seeking prayer, maybe someone's here this morning that needs to be baptized. And we can serve you with whatever kind of spiritual need you have this morning. If you have a need, please let us know what it is by coming forward as we stand and sing.